Listen, when you get a good night of sleep, you know you're going to have energy. When that happens, you feel good. You feel awesome. That's why you need to be sleeping on a Casper mattress. It helps you get a great night of rest. You see, the Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams to give you a great night of sleep. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Its breathable design lets you sleep cool, and this is something I didn't know. It also regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And let me tell you, there are lots of people raving about the Casper mattress. More than 20,000 others love their Casper mattress, giving it an average rating of 4.8. You cannot argue with results like that. And here's yet another reason. The price will not keep you up at night. You can also order sheets, pillows, and that will give you the complete Casper experience. Why is it so affordable? Well, Casper cuts out the middleman and delivers it straight to you. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Right now, for my listeners, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/jungle. Once again, casper.com/jungle. Use the promo code jungle at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, casper.com/jungle, promo code jungle. Merry Smackoff Eve. Welcome to the jungle. What's going on live in Southern California? I'm Jim Rome. In the Quicken Loan Studios, Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Great to have you here on this Thursday. We are one day out. Merry Smackoff Eve, y'all. Hope you've set that thing up. Hope you're ready for the long holiday weekend. It's not a holiday per se, but the Smackoff really is a national holiday here in the jungle. That is tomorrow, 24 hours out. Lots to get done between now and then, but I want to make sure that I wished you all a very merry Smackoff Eve. All right, let's get to this thing. Next segment, I've got an interview, Rex Hoggard. But if you want to jump in, I'd break format for the right telephone call. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. I've got a full Smackoff preview coming up later on this hour. Rex Hoggard, a Golf Channel analyst and writer, talks about the Open Championship. That's coming up in 15 minutes. Second hour is wide open. Third hour is filling up. Here in studio, the WBC lightweight champion of the world, Mikey Garcia, joins us. He's going to fight a unification bout. It's going to be here in Los Angeles. Mikey Garcia in studio, top of hour number three. AJ Boye, Jags cornerback, joins me in the third hour, too. Smackoff Eve, exactly what do you want to do with it? 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Things got pretty crazy yesterday in terms of Smackoff. Lef came in and did not RSVP, but said that a member of his team would do so for him. And then he forwarded a couple of videos, which we ultimately played. If you missed this yesterday, you want to go to my Facebook page and check it out. He had not one RSVP, but he had two. One from our horse, Straight Fire, and one from the Fonz. He's got video of Henry Winkler saying how hyped he is that the Smackoff is going to be on TV for the first time ever. And freaking Lef. If he's pulling crap like that on Wednesday, what do you think that guy's going to do on Friday when it matters? Also yesterday, I've been shouting out to Mike and Indy. Mike and Indy, where is this guy? One of the best to ever do it. Some would argue the best to ever do it. This guy finally shows up for the first time in a year. We have not heard word one from him on this show since the Smackoff last year. This guy finally shows up yesterday, not to RSVP, but to, quote, retire. Retire. So a complete update on both of these things and a look ahead coming up later on this hour. Rex Hoggard, next segment. Let me start first, though, with Kawhi Leonard. You know, it's been over 24 hours since the announcement of the Kawhi Leonard-DeMar DeRozan trade. And the shockwaves are still rippling. I said this yesterday, right? The trade's not a one-day story. It's a one-year story. And it's already proving to be just that. In fact, it's already become like gospel that Kawhi does not want to play in Toronto. That's already gospel. However, the Sporting News took it one step further, reporting, quote, there have been indications that he would sit out the entire season if necessary, and though that step would be drastic and unprecedented in today's game, Toronto has forced the situation into uncharted territory by acquiring a player who has made it clear he does not want to be there, end quote. Let me repeat that first part of that sentence once again, and I quote, there have been indications that he would sit out the entire season if necessary, end quote. Wait, what? Sit out the entire season. Sit out the entire season because he doesn't like Toronto? Look, before people start freaking out and panicking over Kawhi Leonard holding out the entire year and what that would mean, and yes, NBA Reddit, I know about the suggestion that he should enter Canada illegally, declare refugee status, and then get sent back to the United States, thus forcing the Raptors' hands. I've heard that theory. Let's go ahead and pump the brakes on that for a minute. If this guy does sit out an entire season, he's going to lose $20 million. And then due to a clause in the CBA, he'd run the risk of losing his free agent status for next year. 20 mil and free agent status potentially. It's a hell of a lot to give up. A hell of a lot to give up because you don't want to go to Toronto. I mean, you have to really, really, really not want to go someplace if you're willing to risk all of that. Now, there are cities that I might not like, and I want to be clear about this. I like Toronto. I really like Toronto. But even if I didn't love Toronto the way that I do, I'm not paying $20 million and risking my future free agency just because I don't like Toronto. Hell, I can make an easy argument for Toronto. They've got the tallest freestanding structure in the Western Hemisphere. Forget 20 mil. That's worth that trip alone. And that's before we get to the beaches, the award-winning restaurants, Canada's only museum devoted entirely to ceramics. So for all you morons with your witty flannel as currency, Prime Minister Bryan Adams jokes, you can all step off. Kawhi is not going to delay going to Canada so he can miss the denim harvest. The Raptors are not going to pay him in maple syrup and pelts. Kawhi Leonard has more than 20 million reasons to show up in Toronto. And with the exchange rate, it's more than 26 million loonies to show up in Toronto. You really want to give up all that? For who? For what? Because you don't like Toronto. If Kawhi actually does sit out the season because he doesn't want to be with the Raptors, my man does not have a leg problem. He's got a head problem. And I doubt that happens. This feels like saber rattling at best. Just some pure speculation at worst. Some hot taking, even worse than that. Now that said, the fact that it's even gotten to this point, the fact that the idea would ever even come up, says about how Kawhi has completely lost control of the story. This guy's one of the best players in the league, and that's getting lost in all of this. He's now on the verge of coming off as one of the biggest kooks in the league. And if part of the idea was to get out of San Antonio so he could raise his profile, and even that is debatable, he's raising his profile, all right. He's just doing it in the worst way possible. So now would be a very good time, Kawhi, to get in front of a mic and explain your side. Because from the outside, it seems like complete chaos. From the outside, it seems like you and your advisors have no plan whatsoever. Well, aside from the plan to hide you when the Spurs come to check on you. I mean, are you going to be hiding in some hamper when the Raptors come to look for you? This guy may have had a really good reason for wanting out of San Antonio and a really good reason for not wanting to go to Toronto, but we wouldn't know what it is because this guy won't say jack. Kawhi, it's time. In fact, it was time long ago. Get in front of a camera. Stop hiding from the Spurs. Stop hiding from everybody else. Get in front of a camera and own it before you do any more damage to your rep and to your cred. And no, this guy's not going to sit out a year so he doesn't have to go to Toronto. You know, for who? For what? For 20 mil and possibly losing free agency? Come on. 1-800-636-8686. Toll free. Smack off Eve. I already wish you a very smack off Eve. Very merry, merry smack off Eve. And then this. This email reads as such. 'Twas the day before smack off when all through the jungle callers practice their lines in hopes not to bungle. Brad pondered aloud about whom he should mimic, while Leff spent his day cooking up a new gimmick. Very prepared is Stevie Carbone, while Irae scours the streets looking for a payphone. Matt and Tyler prepare for their attack on Americans with endless fat smack. Benny rushes to write before the day's spent, while Caleb rehearses with Mom in his basement. Now Mike, now Mark, now Vic, now Rick. On Chael, on Jeff, on Bodie the Hick. Oh, glorious day tomorrow shall be when Hawk scores a pound of pure THC. Merry Smackmas, everybody. Signed, Dan Lesk's Jungle Grinch. Now that's a good contribution, Lesk. Well done. A Dan Lesk's special. Other Smackoff reaction. This email reads, Rome, I have been laying the foundation for tomorrow all week. I've been coughing. I've been pretending to fight through. I've been getting all my stuff done so I have nothing to do tomorrow. As I own my own business, I already had planned on taking the day off. However, my fiance is really starting to throw a wrench in my plans. Little does she know I will be, quote, at work tomorrow for some unexpected emergency work that's got to be done between 12 and 3. That will get me out of setting up and preparing for my wedding on Saturday. See you at noon. This better be the best Smackoff ever, as it may be my last. Matt in Poland Springs. Hey, Matt, I'll do my best. I'll do my best to make it the best Smackoff ever, but you understand that on this day, this is the one day out of the year I've got no control whatsoever. This is the one day where I hand it over to the listeners. Check that. I hand it over to the callers. This is the one day where I cannot put my own stamp on it. The one day where I can't exert my own will. So I'll do my best, but it's not about me. It's about everybody who calls that day. And bro, maybe you check your priorities. I'm all about this show. This is the most important day of the year, but it shouldn't be your most important day of the year. Your most important day of your life is the next day, bro. Make sure you show up. Don't worry about me. You make sure you show up for your wedding. Listen to this guy. And believe me, that marriage is going to start off on the wrong foot if she finds out what you did the day before. That might be my last Smackoff. Bro, the way you're handling your business or not, this might be your last Smackoff, but it sounds like it might not be your last marriage. Handle your business, Matt. Hey, Rome. We believe Mike in Indy is really retiring. Signed, people who give their life savings to a Nigerian prince investment opportunity. Stephen PHX. Or Greg Popovich texting DeMar DeRozan at 5 a.m. this morning to go run sprints. Mike called yesterday. Mike called yesterday and said, all the greats want to go out on their own terms, but it almost never happens. Therefore, I'm going out on my own terms. You never know with Mikey. But then again, the guy did disappear for an entire year. I'm going to take him at his word. Romy. Brad called last week. He said he had the inside scoop on Mike's attendance, that he was a, quote, bitch. How did Brad get his hands on that info? Turned out to be exactly right. I know Mike is your guy, pimp, but good riddance. You better don't unretire, Mikey. You better don't. You better don't unretire, Mikey. You better don't. Signed, Rube in Richmond. And finally, Rome. It is Smackoff Eve. I'm as hyped as hell, and looking for you and Alvy to give me a deck of yeah and some damn good vibrations. From Marky Mark, what do you say? War the damn smack off, starting in less than 24 hours, Jake in Seattle. War the damn smack off. War the damn smack off, starting in less than 24 hours now. The giant clock up in the corner. Less than 24 hours out. Rest of the hour sets up like this. Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel analyst and writer, joins me next. We talk Open Championship with him. It's underway. After that, the monster recap slash preview of the Smackoff. That's coming at 40 past. Second hour is open. World champion Mikey Garcia in studio in the third hour. AJ Boye also in third hour. go to O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You want to be sure to listen to Smack Off Friday tomorrow, brought to you by one of our longstanding sponsors, one of my personal favorites, Lumber Liquidators. Do you want to save a boatload of cash on flooring that's going to make all your neighbors envious? Check out my pals at Lumber Liquidators. We will go to Carnoustie momentarily. Rex Hoggard will be standing by. In the meantime, seeing as to how yesterday nearly came off the rails, and I had no idea that that was going to happen, and that was Wednesday of Smack Off Week, I've done this 23 other times. And this is what I know about Smack Off Eve. I have no idea what's going to happen. Just as I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, I have no idea what's going to happen the day before tomorrow, Smack Off Eve. But I know something's going to happen. Everybody's hyped. Everybody's jockeying. Everybody's trying to work the refs. Everybody's trying to set it up. Something's going to happen today. I don't know exactly what it is. I mean, hell, yesterday I did not expect Lef to RSVP via video the way he did with Fonzie and Straight Fire. That happened. Didn't expect it. Mike and Indy called yesterday. Didn't expect that. Mike and Indy called yesterday to announce his retirement. Did not expect that. Again, that's Wednesday. Something's going to happen today. You best be listening. Something will happen today. I just don't know what it is. We are joined right now by a Golf Channel senior writer. He is Rex number 7. He is on site at Carnoustie, contributing to Golf Channel and GolfChannel.com's coverage of the 147th Open. Live opening round coverage of the Open continues today on Golf Channel until 4 p.m. Eastern. Second round live coverage airs on Friday from 1:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern. Rex Hoggard is my guest. Rex, great to have you on the show. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me back.
Rex, always good to have you on this show, especially during a major. Now, you're on site at Carnoustie. So before we get into some of the individual performances so far, how is that track playing today?
Oh, hard and fast. I mean, I'm sure folks watching at home just look at this and wonder why are they playing the Open Championship on a cow pasture. But it's really perfect. I mean, it's like trying to hit it down a runway that's, you know, bordered by pop bunkers everywhere and rough and out of bounds. And it's a very unique test, and you have to hand it to the RNA. I love the fact that when we get over here to this championship, you get what Mother Nature gave you. And it's been one of the driest summers on record here in the UK, and we end up with just these crazy conditions where players are hitting the ball 400-plus yards. You don't know how far five irons are going. It's a very unique test when it comes to golf.
Rex Hoggard joining us. Sounds pretty much like we'd expect. Now, Tony Finau said that he hit a 3-wood 420 yesterday, which is absolutely insane. Patrick Harrington hit a 457-yard drive earlier this week, which is ridiculous. As a player, when you're doing that, what kind of adjustments do you have to make to your game?
I thought it was fascinating. It's kind of golf nerdy stuff, but I never hear these phrases. But they're talking about ending numbers and rollout, and where the ball is going to actually stop, because you can try to weave in between these bunkers, but you're much better off trying to take one side out of play and carry in this bunker. But take the sixth hole, for example. It's 275 yards to clear a pair of pop bunkers that are down the right side of the fairway. But you only have 25 yards before you reach another set of pop bunkers. And it doesn't matter what you hit, it's not going to stop in 25 yards. So it's such a different test for guys to try to wrap their mind around. Yeah, I can stand up here and blast it, but I don't know where it's going to go. It's going to catch a bump. It's going to roll. It's going to roll into a bunker. The good news is, because it's been so dry, the rough's not nearly as penal as what we normally get. So if you end up in the rough, you're still in a decent spot. But as we're watching Brooks Koepka, who has spent, every time I look up at the TV, he's hitting out of one of those bunkers. Once you get in there, it's tough to get out.
Rex Hoggard, my guest. All right, Rex, so having said all that, what kind of a player does this favor?
There was two schools of thought, and it was fascinating to me because you had one school of thought that included Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth, who said, look, we're just going to hit irons. We're going to be very measured. We're going to try to take all the trouble out of play underneath some of the trouble. And then the other school of thought were the bombers, the Dustin Johnsons and Brooks and Rory McIlroys of the world, who decided that I'm just going to tee up driver everywhere and just hit it down there as far as I can, and if I'm in the rough, I'm going to wedge it out. I'm still not sure which one of those is going to pay off. But it is worth telling that Kevin Kisner, who is not a bomber by any stretch of the imagination, is leading right now. So right now, I think the guys who have decided to be a little bit more tactical and measured, maybe have the advantage.
Rex Harder, live at Carnoustie, covering the Open. So Jordan Spieth, Rex, opened up with a 1-over-72, but said that he felt like it was, quote, recoverable. What do you make of what you saw from him in the first 14 holes and then the final four holes?
Well, I mean, I think Carnoustie famously has wrecked so many cards. It's where good scores go to die, right? I mean, we've seen it, John Vandeveld being the perfect example back in 1999. I don't think this really was a golf course-related thing. I think he didn't make the right mental choices, and he talked about not executing the shots. And things came apart on the 15th when he made a bogey, and he said, I hit the wrong club off the tee. It was a 4-iron, and hit the wrong club into the green, which was a 6-iron. And he brought the front bunker into play, and it plugged, and like I just talked about, once you get in there, unlike any other major, unlike any other golf course you play in the United States, these bunkers are true hazards. I mean, it's a one-stroke penalty at the very least when you get in one of those.
Rex Harder joins us. Rex, Tiger Woods is out on the course right now, and it's his first Open since 2015, and it's taking place at the course where he played the 1995 Scottish Open. What do you make of how he talked about that experience from 23 years ago?
It's interesting to see how he reflects now, Jim. I got to be honest with you. We've never had that throughout the course of his career. He was always looking forward. He wasn't one to sit back and think about all these nostalgic things like first introduction to links golf. And he told this great story about just wanting to hit 100-yard shots, regardless of the club, 5-iron to pitching wedge, when he first got on the range in Carnoustie back in 95. And his dad was like, aren't you ever going to hit anything more than just a 100-yard shot? No, I don't want to. This is so much fun. And it was really nice to hear that, to be quite frank with you, because we never get that sort of introspection from him. I think when it comes to links golf, certainly it brings out the best in him because it requires so much creativity. We always talked about his power and what he could do to golf courses, but I think he truly enjoys it when it's like this. If you look at his maybe two best Open championships, 2000 at St. Andrews and 06 at Royal Liverpool, it was very similar to this. Brown and bouncy and hard, and you had to think your way around the golf course. So I think this really brings out his best.
Yeah, Rex, he's out quickly. He's 2-under right now, and in recent years, the Open has had a number of older golfers make a run at the jug. Why is that, and could you see Tiger doing that this week?
Well, this was another point that he made. Someone asked him, is this your best chance, not just this year, but as you get older? And he agreed, absolutely. And he pointed to Tom Watson, who, of course, famously, you know, made a run at the Claret Jug at Turnberry a few years ago. I'm forgetting the actual age now, but it was around 110, I think. But you had Greg Norman, you know, a few years ago in his 50s that did it. It mitigates the power, but as Tiger gets older, as players get older, they can't hit it as far as the younger guys. And I think it really relies on a lot of institutional knowledge. It relies on your ability to understand that you need to be creative and you're going to hit different shots. And no one in the game right now does that like Tiger Woods, and I kind of agree with him. He thinks he can compete here well into his 50s, and I wouldn't disagree with that at all.
All right, so before I let you go, what are you looking to see for the rest of today that might give you a sense as to who's going to be there at the end of Sunday?
Well, Justin Thomas is kind of the wild card right now, and he's right on the edge. He's just two strokes back, and I think he's got a couple holes to play, and he could make things very interesting because he is the type of player, he's sort of the outlier that I just explained, where Kevin Kisner took more of the tactical approach. Justin Thomas can hit the ball a long way. And if you get those two guys suddenly both in the mix and right up there at the top, they can separate themselves really quickly. Now, that being said, the real test will come this weekend. It's going to be more what we expect from the Open Championship. It's going to be wind and it's going to be rain. So even as it stands right now with the lead of 5-under, I don't think the winning score is going to be more than 7 or 8 under at this point.
He's on site at Carnoustie, contributing to Golf Channel and GolfChannel.com's coverage of the 147th Open. He is a Golf Channel senior writer. He is Rex number 7. Rex, great job. Really nice to have you back. Rex, have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Rex Hoggard, Rex number 7, live at Carnoustie. When we return, I've got a major recap leading up to in a preview of Smackoff 24. Other things I want to get to: Manny Machado, a Dodger, what that means to them and the rest of the NL and Major League Baseball. We talked about Kawhi. My thoughts on the Smackoff coming up next. I want to talk about Larry Fedora. I'm going to try to get to this. It's a guy that I like. He's been on this show before, but man, I'm not sure what's gotten into him. That's coming up too. First things first, though, here is a sports update at the bottom of the hour for you. Brad Heller.
Live from Southern California, This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Tonight at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, you can tune into CBS Sports Network and follow the stories of struggle and strength as some of the world's greatest athletes get after it in the 2018 CrossFit Games, Road to the Fittest. It's on your 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Smack Off Eve, last chance to say something, do something, maybe even play your way in. You're within 24 hours of the big event. Get at me right now. Third hour is going to be a busy hour. Mikey Garcia in studio, WBC lightweight champion, AJ Boyer, Jacksonville Jaguars cornerback, also in hour number three. So you're actually running out of time. If there's something you need to say, something you need to do, some point you want to make, you want to do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. Let me be the first to officially say, Merry Smack Off Eve. You filthy animals. We are now less than one day away from the main event. Less than 24 hours until the 24th installment of the Smack Off. And for the first time in its nearly quarter century long run, it is going to be on TV. Henry Winkler, for one, no less an authority than the Fonz, was all about that. And if the run up to the event is any indication of what's about to go down tomorrow, then we're all in for the best and most unpredictable Smack Off ever. Now, if you miss a little, you miss a lot. I've always said that with this show. And if you've missed any part of the last 2 weeks, then you've missed about a year's worth of content pouring in before Smack Off 24. Everyone from Leff in Laguna to Brad in Corona to Vic in NoCal to Rick in Buffalo to the Canadians to Mark in Boston to Chad in L.A. to Caleb in Green Bay, they've all checked in. Hell, we even had a retirement yesterday, which I will get to. The point is this. The last 2 weeks have been a Cat 5 superstorm of smack. I'm here for it. I am so here for it. There's no doubt. They're profiling the field, smoked out a grip of haters who could not stand to hear that their rivals were getting some positive run. As an example, Brad and Corona heard the Team Canada preview. And then he showed up and chased it with this.
Last week, Matt in Vancouver called in and admitted that him and Tyler had a shared calendar appointment for a Northern Sando with my wife. But apparently they kicked her out of it because she looks like a potato. Matt, I'm confused. When you kick my wife out of your Northern Sando, that just leaves two dudes left in the Sando? So it's an all-meat, protein-style Canadian Sando? I mean, it's 2018. I accept you and Tyler for... whoever you are and whoever you guys want to be, but there's no need to make up fake excuses just to get my wife out of there, dude. That ain't cool.
This dude's ability to turn your best line into a line that you wish you never even thought of, much less uttered on national radio, is pretty unreal. But he was not the only one turning profiles around. Vic did the same after Rick's segment.
Congrats, man. You got me to mention your name. Now listen up, because I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse, okay? You leave my jungle today, never to come back, and I'm going to let you live, okay? But you show your caveman face around this house again in my jungle, and I'm not just going to take you out. Your entire lineage is going to feel it. Dude, even decades from now, your grandkids are going to get bullied at school, man. All the other kids are going to be like, ha-ha, your grandpa is that loser who got destroyed by Broadway Vic.
That's Broadway, doing Broadway things. But Rick did check in, and dude's got no intention of accepting Vic's deal.
Now listen up, Vic. I'm not into weigh-ins. I'm not into banana hammocks. I'm not into glamour shots, and I'm not into empty threats. I'll leave that to fake tough guys like you. I'm here for one thing and one thing only, the fight.
So the profile is generated pre-Smack Off reaction from Smack Off players. It's perfect. I love it. But another thing the run-up to the event is known for is guys coming in and unloading certain phone calls that they know will not play on game day. As an example, Mark in Boston, when he said he was in Canada recruiting Canadians to join Team America.
We're the Americans. And right now, the Americans are trolling Brova Scotia or Saskatchewan or whatever the hell you call those weird provinces, looking for Canadian girls to feed, trying to convince them they don't need to hunt for their food, they can gain independent wealth outside of the flannel factory, and that by joining the Americans, they can actually touch the Stanley Cup. We tried to recruit a celebrity, but we just couldn't seem to find anyone. We reached out to Michael J. Fox, but he said he couldn't shake free of his previous engagements.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like it. You know, it's a terrible line. Not only a terrible line, but a terrible tradition that some of these guys feel like they've got to go with before the main event. They know they're in, so they just light house money on fire until they have to play with their own chips. Speaking of lighting things on fire, last year we saw the first ever smack-off suicide when Brad and Corona put his own dome under the hammer and did so on purpose. This year we saw the first golden ticket suicide when Dan in Denver corkscrewed off the high dive right into the blades of the choppa earlier this week.
Hey, Jim, did you see the shorts LeBron rocked courtside in Vegas yesterday? I love them. But was he wearing them backwards? I haven't seen shorts on backwards like that since Mike waddled out of the Chael's house paired with hogtie burns and a ball gag.
That's
not a good call. No. We don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very
good You know, on some level, I kind of respect that move. Like, Dan, he knew he was never going to get that scud off on Friday because he had to know deep down that he probably wasn't going to get on the air on Friday. So he calls midweek before the event and trades in his golden ticket for that. Was it worth it, Dan? I don't know. But I know it was a lot more memorable and respectable than Rich and Copyright Hills trying to RSVP his 2 days
Despite
ago.
Despite me having the capacity to exhibit sound judgment, I throw caution to the wind and choose to RSVP for a spot in the Midsummer Clone Classic Smack Off 2018 as evidence. Hereof, Romy, I present to you.
That's not a good call. No.
I seriously cannot remember the last time somebody called in to say they were going to be there, and I took that ticket and I turned it into confetti right in front of their face. But that was a terrible RSVP. Hey, Rich, not only is it not personal, and not only should you not be unhappy with me, you should be thanking me because I saved you from yourself on Friday. I did you a favor. You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, here's an RSVP that went a whole hell of a lot better. Insert.
There's, 23 of these. And besides yourself, I don't think that there's been anyone more involved in the smack-off as an employee or a listener or a caller than me. And I'm not going to miss this one. So the only thing I really haven't done as it pertains to the smack-off is win it. So I definitely plan on doing that on Friday. I don't want to give up too much of my call, Jim, but I'll save it for Friday. But I'm going to finish the following joke. What do you get when the CEO of Papa John's, Kramer from Seinfeld, and Marge Schott walk into a bar?
And, of course, the guy who's going to finish that joke tomorrow is longtime clone, longtime listener, longtime caller, longtime XR4TIer. Long time Mr. Automatic, long time actor, long time mole addict.
Chew it!
Mock Moda! Jay freaking Stu. Jay freaking Stu. Stu, looking forward to it. Can't wait to have you back. We'll see you tomorrow. Glad to have you. Staying on the RSVPs, deep in the heart of Texas, my man, Bubba, Bodie, called in to let me know that he was going to be there on Friday. But more importantly, he let Canada know that he was going to be there on Friday.
You know, I'm changing my game up. If you notice, my vernacular is a little bit clearer. My twang has lessened because Bodie is his worst damn enemy. People can't understand him. So that's why I ain't want a damn smack off. These two idiots from Canada, Tyler and Matt, you're America's skid marks. That's a little bit of what I've got. I write my own damn material. I'll be there, Bubba. Love you.
Love you too, Bubba. That was so much better that time. I mean, that was good the first time, but that was better the second time. Bubba talking in the third person. Bubba talking about how he would have won the smack off, but nobody can understand what he's saying. So he's, quote, lessened his twang, changed his vernacular. Another guy who's going to be there on Friday, Caleb in Green Bay. Now, I've said this guy's on the short list of the best to never win. And when he RSVP'd last week, he wanted to make sure that no one goes for the low-hanging fruit on game day. Well, at least not before he does it one more time.
The clones have done nothing but go after your staff. And I'm guilty of it too, but I don't want the smack-off to turn into the New York Friars Club roast of the XR4TI. I mean, we all have eyes. We all have TVs. We can all see that Keith Arnold looks like Chael Sonnen let himself go, but I would never say that out loud, least of all during the smack-off. It's implied that Alvin Appleseed has so many kids that nap time at the DeLauro household looks like Neo fighting 1,000 copies of Agent Smith in The Matrix. But again, I would never say that. And I've always wondered how Adam Hawk has a worse body than me. Bro, I'm walking around with a front porch that's more like a veranda, but you're the one in the chiropractor's office every couple days. You have the voice of a 20-year-old, the hair of a 60-year-old, and the spine of a 100-year-old. You're like the curious case of Benjamin Top Button.
I see it working, Caleb. And it made me laugh again. But it is smart to get that out of your system before tomorrow, because that kind of smack's not going to win you five grr. You know it. I know it. Everybody else knows it, but I am looking forward to seeing what you come up with tomorrow. Which brings us now to yesterday, the most shocking day in the jungle in quite some time. Where do I start? How about with Lef, the double champ, calling in to say that he was not RSVPing, but rather a member of his team would.
Let's not call this an RSVP quite yet. I've got a member of my team that's going to be delivering that later in the show today, so look for that. But as far as Friday, Jimmy, dude, you can eliminate studio storms, video recordings. Hell, you can require us to enter the telephone number using just our nose. I'm still going to win this thing. And then what, Jimmy? Our caller's going to ask for a rule change banning anyone whose name rhymes with Jeff. Brad breathing a sigh of relief knowing that the rule change didn't require sports takes. Mark and Hollywood's crossing his fingers you don't implement a height requirement. Tyler, dude, sweet pick you had on TV this week. Nice hog. And the bike wasn't bad either.
That's a first, but Lef is full of firsts. So is anybody shocked that dude had an RSVP coming from a, quote, team member later in the show? It's what he does. This guy's a showman. One segment later, I receive a video from one of Lef's team members, and the video, which is on my Facebook page right now, was of our horse, Straight Fire. You can't see the horse if you're not watching on TV, but he's there. And then somebody provided the voice for Straight Fire, too.
Here. Sorry if I sound a bit hoarse, but I'm here to RSVP for Lef and Laguna, so I won't keep you fur long. I just wanted to stir up a little trouble. I'm glad Lef has finally been reined in and now Mustang out of the studio. Just make sure Lef doesn't have the combination to the paddock on the door.
Anyway, you probably saw that. Straight Fire, man, that's a damn good-looking animal, isn't it? So then he had the Fonzarelli, Henry Winkler, RSVP as well. That was Lef yesterday. And right when yesterday could not get any more bizarre, we get a call from a guy who had not called in an entire year, Mike in Indy. Mike in Indy. Mike, what's going on, DLC?
I'm announcing my retirement from the jungle. I appreciate the platform you've given me, Jim. It wasn't a decision I took lightly. I have a tremendous amount of respect for you and your crew and the product you put out on a daily basis, and the Smack-Off is the most unique event in all of radio history. As a fan of the Smack-Off, I appreciate your rules change you made about studio storming. A threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and that's a just rule. Whether I was participating or not, that was important to me. Not many people get to go out on their terms in their prime. Many languish hanging on to past glory, like Charles Barkley with the Rockets, averaging 10-7, or Vic and NoCal racking up eighth places like he did last year. I'm the best there ever was and the best there ever will be, and I'm content with that. Today, I consider myself, the greatest, clone on the face of the earth. I do declare, I do declare. Now I'm done.
Mike Nindy, retired yesterday. Lef RSVP'd with a horse. Tomorrow's the big day. It's all set. When we come back, open phones. Mikey Garcia in studio in the third hour. AJ Boye also in hour number three. Use your second hour. It is wide open. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.